to you if you let him.
That's right.
And so let's let him. Let's through his word. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, if you will. The Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed." Amen. Immediately. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to remove any hindrance, anything that would hinder your word from speaking to us tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the ladies that were baptized. That takes courage, being older, to do such a thing. That takes a lot of courage, and we pray you'd bless them for it. Thank you for their families that came to watch. We pray for them. Lord, there's some folks out tonight sick that need you, and Lord, there's some that need to be here and they're not sick. But Lord, we're here, so we want to be like little Samuel. We want to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And whatever you say, we'll do our best to obey. And whatever's done, we'll say Jesus did it, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was saved in 1978. I was surrendered to preach in about 1980. I was licensed in 82 and ordained in 83. And I've seen a lot of people get to victory, and I've seen a lot of people get defeated. And I've had the opportunity to do both myself. I've had a lot of victories. But you know, the secret to victory, there's only a few secrets to it. One, this man found out. When he realized that he was a leper, and there was no hope for leprosy, there was no comfort, you'd become an outcast, you'd lose your family, you'd lose your health, you'd lose your possessions, you couldn't even go to the temple anymore. You had to walk around with a rag on your mouth shouting, "Unclean, unclean," and people weren't allowed to touch you. They'd leave old rags hanging on fence posts and stuff where you'd wrap around your running sores. You had to leave your family. You had to leave your children. You had to separate yourself. They couldn't have anything to do with you anymore. They'd come leave food next to the tree where you slept, or in the cave wherever you slept, but they couldn't hug you. They couldn't kiss you. And that's a perfect picture of sin itself. It separates us from everybody and everything that we love and we want to be a part of our lives. Now, sin has separated all of us in the beginning. We were born sinners. We can't help that. We were born sinners. For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. That's what the Bible said. And we inherited that from Adam, our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. His blood flows through our veins today. And it's been corrupted by the sin of Adam and Eve. Our blood is corrupted. Now that blood's tainted. So, the Bible says the remission of blood is what brings, the giving of blood is what brings remission of sins, doing away with sin. The shedding of blood, he says in Hebrews chapter 9. And so therefore our blood can't pay for our sins.
Right.
So we can't be spiritually healed by our own account. We're corrupt.
Right.
And so therefore, God made a way through his Son. Now, his Son, Jesus Christ, had God's blood. It didn't have Adam's blood. God was his Father, not Adam.
Amen.
Adam. Now, he chose Mary, but he didn't have Mary's blood. He had God's blood.
Amen.
And he called himself the God-man and God with us, Emmanuel. And now, he never had to die because the wages of sin is death. He never had to die. He never sinned. So he was our sacrificial lamb. He died in our place. And he shed that perfect blood that we don't have to pay for our imperfection called sin. And to prove that God accepted the sacrifice on that third day, he raised his own body out of the grave and walked out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And thereby we can be saved by what he did. And that's what baptism represents. That doesn't save anybody. My first pastor said, "You can get baptized in the Catawba River till you know every minner by his first name, still die and go to hell." Baptism doesn't save anybody. It never has. It's symbolic of the death and the burial and the resurrection, and it's symbolic of our death when we died to ourselves and we trusted Christ. We died to ourselves and he rose us up a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And that's what that symbolism is about in baptism. Well, here's a man that had leprosy. And look, this man had been living with the results of the separation because of the leprosy. Now, leprosy was not sin, but I'm saying it's a type of sin. It separates us from people too. And so, therefore, he'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard that Jesus had healed the sick and gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. And he even heard how Jesus had raised the dead. So he thought, surely, if he can do that, he can heal leprosy. So Jesus is coming through town, and as he comes, this man hears about it, and he knows it's against Jewish law to get around people, but he does it anyway. And he runs to Jesus. And in our story, he did several things. Number one, he reached out to meet the Lord. The Bible says, and there came a leper to him. Now, God comes to all of us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gives us all the opportunity to be saved, but he's not going to make you get saved. You're going to have to come to him and receive it. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You're going to have to receive it. Now, when you receive it, then you can be saved and cleansed from your sin. And in order to have the victory, the first thing you got to do is reach out to him. You got to do that. Now, if you'll reach, he'll reach back. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite verses, says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But in order to get the victory over death, hell, and the grave, you're going to have to decide to come to him. Amen. They're not going to force you to get saved. God didn't knock me in the head with a baseball bat and tell me I had to get saved. He loved me and drew me to himself through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and people witnessing to me and telling me about. I thought God hated me. I thought he hated all poor people. We was raised poor. They called us white trash. I thought, well, maybe God made us this way and he made us to go to hell. But then I heard the old story of Jesus and his love. And I'd like to say I called on him and reached out the first time, but I didn't. It took 3 years of hearing that story over and over and over and over. And then finally, after 3 years, I reached out to him and said, Lord, if you'll have me, I sure would like to be saved today. Amen? And that's what this leper did. And very few people encouraged the leper. He just saw Jesus as the way to be cleansed. And I didn't have a whole lot of people encouraging me to get saved. Matter of fact, I hardly ever I hear anybody say go to heaven. There's a lot of them saying where else to go. Amen? They didn't think I was worth going to heaven. I wasn't until I reached out to him. Then he saved me. Now, that day I got the victory over death, hell, and the grave. I'll never go to hell. I'll live long as God lives because he promised me eternal life, everlasting life. Now, that's not up to me. That's up to him to keep his word. I told him before I did it, I couldn't live it. I told him before I did it, I wouldn't be a good Christian. And when he called me to preach, I argued with him over and over and over and said, you're talking to the wrong boy here. Amen. But I reached out, and when I reached out, he reached back. Amen? Now, he saved me. Now, if you want the victory, the first thing you're going to have to do is reach out to him because you cannot do it by yourself. You can't do it. I don't care who you are or where you come from. You will not get the victory of death, hell, and the grave without him. See? Michael Jackson used to sleep in a tube that oxygenated his skin because he thought that would make him live forever. A little boy said one time, said Michael Jackson was born a little black boy and died an old black woman. They put him in that tube and he dried up. Every night he'd sleep in that tube. And did you know he didn't live one day longer for sleeping in that tube? Oh, man, think of the rich people. What was the guy out in Las Vegas? And Humphreys, Hefner, no, what was it? Hugh Hefner. Oh my goodness. Listen, people have tried forever and ever and ever. It ain't Hugh Heffer, it's Howard Hughes. You said that, didn't you? Howard Hughes. Give one of these people a mark. One of them said it. It was Howard Hughes. And, he tried everything. He quit taking baths because he thought that the water would kill him. I know some people like that too. And he quit cutting his fingernails because he was afraid he might cut his quick and get an infection and die. And before you came into his presence, they sprayed you down with antiseptics and all this stuff before you come in the room with him. And guess what happened? He died. And he died without Christ. And his money didn't get him one day in heaven. Amen? So if you're going to get the victory, the first thing you've got to do is come to Jesus Christ. Number two, he requested of him. It says beseeching him. He didn't just come up there and say, well, Jesus, I think I'm good enough. I ought to get clean. You ought to clean me, Lord. No, sir. He went up there. He begged for cleansing. Now, I'm going to tell some of y'all something. You ain't ever been sick. If you ever get sick, I've had the flu so bad. When I had, I caught hepatitis B when I was younger. I felt like I was going to die. I curled up in the bed and sweat, and my covers would be wet, and I laid there, and I hurt all over. And I prayed. I said, Lord, if you ain't going to heal me, just go ahead and kill me. I can't take this much longer. But some folks have never hurt. You've never been in pain. You've never had a hard life. Well, let me tell you something. One day you will.
Yes, Lord.
And then when you do, you don't just say, well, Lord, you know, I'm pretty good. You'll say, Lord, please, please, please help me. You'll beseech him. I'm afraid a lot of our professions of faith in our churches today are not a beseeching.
Come on, brother.
I think they feel like they're joining some kind of club. Well, I've got news for you. If we get what we deserve, we're going to go to a devil's hell. You better beseech him. You better beg him. Look, I had somebody walk the aisle one day, a young person, and they were smiling and chewing gum. And I said, what do you come up here for? Well, I come to get saved. I said, you did? And they giggled. I said, you're not ready to get saved. Because you don't see the seriousness of it. You wouldn't have come up here giggling and chew popping bubbles and bouncing down the aisle like God was going to do you a little old favor by saving you. And if you knew how bad you really need to be saved, you'd have crawled up the aisle.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. But you got to beseech him. Now, God's made it real clear. Ask, seek, and knock, he said. Now, that's more than just asking one time. You have to seek the Lord while he may be found, he says. And sometimes you got to recognize who he really is. This man didn't just walk up there and act like, well, you're the doctor, you got to heal me. He came kneeling down. Boy, that day I got saved, God was all over me, and I came down that aisle, and I came to the front, and I hugged that preacher. And he sent me in a room with a fellow with a Bible and showed me three or four verses on what being saved was and how to be saved. And listen, if he'd have red-eyed that Bible, you got to stand on your head and twirl around and around and whistle Dixie backwards, I'd have tried it. I'd have done anything that day. I was beseeching God. I'd have crawled up. The Catholics will crawl up the steps of the basilica on their knees, you know, and say all these prayers and stuff. If that's what it took, I would have done it. But thank God that's not what it took. He said, ask, and you'd receive. He said, seek, you'll find. He said, knock, it'll be opened unto you. You wasn't born a Christian. I've had people tell me that I was born a Christian. I said, no, you was born a sinner. Well, my baby wasn't no sinner. Your baby lied to you the first week it came home. And it's been lying to you ever since. Dirty, rotten little sinner. Amen. Amen. Anytime a kid tells you something, you better look behind a rock or everywhere else, see what the real truth is while they're talking. Amen. I remember when I was little, I saw a dog one time, and I'd pet him, and I'd walk, and I'd pet him, and I'd walk, and I'd pet. Finally, he followed me all the way home, and I went and told my mama. I said, Mama, look what followed me home. Can I keep him? No, it ain't your dog, boy. Oh, my. We had three little girls, precious little girls. that grew up in the women. And all three of them did it. We'd bring them home, and they were so cute. They'd coo, and they'd make little eyes at you, you know. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd have them in the bed. You'd be in there sleeping. You thought a wolf rat done got the bed wounds, eating their chin off. You run in there and grab them, and as soon as you grab them, pick them up, they go, "Ooh, little liar, little liar." And they've been lying ever since. Amen. Hey, you wasn't born a Christian. You was hoping I forgot, don't you? You wasn't born a Christian. Jesus said in John 3:3 to a very religious man, he knew the Old Testament front and back. He was a priest and served in the temple and is of the highest order. And he looked at him and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "Thou must be born again." He was born wrong first place. Romans 5:12, wherefore by... Look here. If anybody thinks they're good enough to go to heaven, there's one or two things wrong. Either you just don't know what the Bible says, or you're lying to yourself.
Amen. Yeah, come on, let's
do. Because you know how many sins does it take to make me a sinner? And we'll look at people, you'll say, "Oh, I'm glad I ain't like him. Look what he does." Yeah, but yours just showed up. It's called pride.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. What you ought to do is say, "Except by the grace of God, there go I."
Amen.
And such were some of you, Paul said. You're born a sinner. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. And you're not going to just... look, you didn't wake up one day and say, "Oh, I'm a sinner and I ain't." You had to ask for it. You had to seek it. You had to knock. Revelation 3:20, Jesus was knocking on your door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." First, he knocks on your door. And then you go knock on his door and say, "Lord, I'd like to meet you too." Now, this man here was a leper. There was nothing he could do. Not one thing. But you know, I don't think anything ever happened by accident with the Lord. I think everywhere he went, every town he walked through, there was somebody there that he knew was going to ask. I got a sermon I preach on when Jesus passed by. And boy, I'm glad he passed by that day that I accepted him.
Amen.
And I knew he was there. You know, I don't know how anybody else in that church felt. I don't know if anybody was crying. I don't know if anybody was under conviction. I don't know if they felt his power and his presence and his love. But I know I did.
Amen.
You know why? He knew I was going to be there. And if nobody else would get saved, he would come right your way because he knew you would want it.
Yes, sir. That's awesome.
Here's a poor leper, lost his family, lost his job, lost his belongings, lost everything. Now he's losing his health and he's dying. And he came to Jesus and he besought him, but he didn't come demanding. He came kneeling down. We got a lot of modern people that think they can go to God and demand things. Let me tell you something. God doesn't have to do anything. God's God. He's the creator of the universe. He doesn't have to do anything. But boy, he sure likes it when you come beseeching and kneeling.
Amen.
That's why he taught us to pray. That's why he taught so much about prayer. He wants to hear from you. And the sad thing is we wait till we get in trouble to pray.
Come on now.
I remember when they said they took prayer out of school. I said, "It's a lie." "Oh, yeah, they made a law." I said, "I don't care what they made. There'll never be a math test that children don't pray." Amen. I was a heathen. Every time we have a math test, I say, "Lord, help." You did too. What are you laughing about? Hey, but he wants us right. And sometimes he'll put his... Let me ask you something. Now, you got to put your thing cap on. Where did this man get leprosy? if all things work together for the good of them that love God and them that's called according to his purpose, where did this man get leprosy? It had to be because God let him get it, because God knew that's what it would take to draw him to Jesus. And did you know sometimes it takes hard things to make us come kneeling to him? To make us pray. A lot of people won't pray unless they're in trouble. So God lets you have some trouble because he wants to talk to you. Amen? If all it takes is trouble for my kids to come see me and talk to me, I'm going to pray, pour it on them, Lord. Pour it on them. I'd like to see them every once in a while. But if we didn't have trouble, I wonder how much we'd beseech him and how often we'd kneel down. You know, a lot of people, they don't recognize him for who he really is. They say he's a good man. And he was the only good man. They say he was a great man, and he was the greatest that ever lived. The Jehovah's Witness will tell you he was a great teacher, and he was a great teacher, the greatest to ever walk planet Earth. Some say he was a great preacher, and he was a great preacher. He was the greatest preacher that ever walked planet Earth. But he was more than that. He was the Son of God. Now, if we claim to be Christians and we claim to believe the Bible, then he is the living Word of God. He's embodiment of everything that God would want us to know about himself. That's not everything about molecular construction. It's not everything about computer stuff. But it's everything about eternal life and the things that we need to have the victory over death, hell, and the grave and sin. Amen. And he was the embodiment of that. And so some people, this one fellow said, he's either a liar or he's a lunatic or he's Lord. Hey, he was the greatest man that ever lived. That's what he was. But he was more than just a man. And if you're going to see him for who he really is, you'll have to come down on a lower level than what you're on. God hates pride. Amen. It's pride what's destroyed humankind now. Amen. That's where the devil came from. One day he was looking up at God's throne and he said, hey, fellas, you got 30 angels. And he said, hey, fellas, see that throne? God ain't on it. I'm going to go sit on that throne. And I'm going to be like the Most High God. And he said, I will, five times. Well, when his will came in, that made it sin. And God cast him out of heaven for pride. You'll have to lower yourself. You'll have to examine yourself if you want to have the victory. You're going to have to reach out to him. You're going to have to make a request. You're going to have to recognize who he is and who you are. And then, guess what? You're going to have to regard it as done. That man went to the Lord believing he was going to heal him.
Yes. Amen.
If he didn't believe it, he wouldn't have risked all the things he risked to go through there and be illegal and do the things he did to get to the Lord if he didn't believe he could heal him.
Amen.
And Jesus looked at him and he said, it's done. He didn't tell the man go do 25 Hail Marys. He didn't say get baptized. He didn't say join the church. He didn't say, go home, change clothes, take a bath. He said, look here, you're healed. Amen. And the man, Bible says, immediately the man walked away healed. Amen. He considered it done. I don't think he went to Dr. Doolittle and asked him, was he well? I think he just counted it well.
Amen.
I don't think he went and got a physical. I think he just counted it by faith.
Amen.
Jesus said it, that settles it. And when you get born again, when you get saved, the Bible calls it, you just count it done. You say, well, I'm not good enough. No, none of us are. And then after you get saved, the old devil will come along and say, they lied to you. You can't live it. You say, no, I can't. That's why I need a Savior. And then somebody else come along and say, well, you don't look like a Christian to me. And you say, I know it, but he said I am. It's done. It's finished. There's nothing you can add to salvation. You're cleansed of your sins. You're healed from the results of sin. It's finished. Why don't you just regard it as done? I had a fellow come in one day and he said, preacher, I need you to baptize me in the river. Well, I done baptized him in the baptistry. And I told him that. He said, well, I'm just having trouble with my faith. I don't feel like I'm saved. I said, I don't either half time. I said, but I ain't counting on my feelings, thank God. He said, well, I really think if I got baptized in the Catawba River like Jesus got baptized in the river, then it would feel like it. I said, I've been in the Catawba River. It didn't make me feel no better. I said, your problem's not the water, it's your faith. You doubt what God said he would do. Why don't you just accept what he said and go on?
Amen.
If you die and go to hell, look at the devil and say, they fixing the air conditioning this place because he promised to take me to heaven. And then last, number five, I think this man forsook everything and followed Jesus. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Every day we'll die to ourselves. Now, I used to be full of pride. I still got some that'll flare up every once in a while. But I got a Baptist baseball bat. It's called a Bible. I just hit it in the head with the Bible. But when you got saved, when you got born again, you got a new life, you were baptized into the body of Christ by His Spirit, not the water. You became a part of Christ. He became a part of you. And He put the love of God down in your heart. He gave you peace in your mind. And that made you want to follow Him.
Amen. Yes.
You kids, watch out who you follow. Jesus said, the blind leading the blind, you'll both fall in a ditch. When I was younger, I followed a lot of blind people, and I fell in a lot of ditches. But since I've been following Him, I hadn't fallen in any ditches.
Amen.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I forsook all. You can ask my wife. They went back down at Lancaster and they said, Ron Roddy's done gone religion crazy. So he got saved, he got baptized, he joined church, he goes to church Sunday morning, he goes to church Sunday night, he goes to church Wednesday night. The boy's gone religion crazy. No, I'm just following Jesus. Lost all your friends. I don't care, I'm just following Jesus.
Amen.
Lost a few jobs over it. I don't care, I'm just following Jesus. And the peace of mind and the contentment in my heart and my eternal destination is my great reward.
Amen.
We sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back.
Right.
No turning back. And I said this morning, where are you going to go anyway? Back to the bottle, back to drug, back to ungodly living, back to terrible relationships. Where are you going to go? He's never led me in the wrong way, not one time.
Amen.
As long as I follow Him,
right,
I'm healed. Now, if I ever get off the path and I quit following Him, I get kind of sickly, spiritually speaking. And I have to come back and kneel at His feet.
Amen.
And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That means we still sin sometimes, but just keep following Him. He'll take care of it. I think this man surrendered all, and I think when he got home, his family knew he'd had an experience with Jesus Christ. He was cleansed. I think his friends knew.
Amen.
He had an experience with Jesus Christ. He was cleansed. How about you? Do you have the victory? 1 John 5:4b said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Do you have it? Have you been born again? Or have you just been baptized? A lot of people get that backwards. They get baptized thinking that's going to save them. No, he said, believe and be baptized. First you got to believe, then you get baptized. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the inerrant,